Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are using some of the most powerful cards in Magic's history. Before we get started, just want to thank you as usual for joining us. If you had any questions, you can send us an email at gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at gemstonemindmtg. We really appreciate taking the time out of your day to tune in and listen to another episode. Of course, if you're consuming this on YouTube, go ahead and give a like and subscribe if you feel like we've earned that from you with this episode's content. I'm going to get to the main content of this episode in a few minutes, my interview with David, aka Catnap from Sad Gnaws, where we had a really great discussion about mana bases, both in CEDH and regular old Commander. And if you want to skip over this preamble, I have included a link down in the description where you can just go ahead and get right to the good stuff. But before we get started, I wanted to apologize for an unintended hiatus for the past month. Yeah, it's been like a month since we've had any uploads, and that's kind of on me. Right now, I live in Southwest Florida, and this time of year is the busy season for us. I didn't expect work to be this much busier this year compared to last year, but it absolutely has been. Between that, some health issues going on in the family, I've had a lot of my free time eaten up in ways that I really didn't expect. That said, I've got some exciting things planned, and we as a channel have some exciting things in the works. Nothing we can really talk about yet, but we're really hoping to make 2023 our best year ever in terms of new content, new ideas, and hopefully some cool new stuff all around. Without further ado, let's get to our main topic. If you're anything like me, there's probably been a time when you've sat down to build a deck and you get everything laid out perfectly, and then you get to the point where it's time to start actually putting lands in the deck and you go, okay, Command Tower. Just 30 plus more lands to go. It really shouldn't be this hard. I mean, they're just lands, right? Well, there's a lot that goes into choosing cards for your mana base. It is essentially one of the big cornerstones of your deck, and a good mana base can make the difference between a deck really performing and a deck that really struggles to get anything going at all. So, recognizing my own weaknesses, I knew that this was an episode that I was going to need some help on, so I called up and talked with David, aka Catnap from the Sad Gnaws podcast. I'm going to let David introduce himself as well as his fellows on the podcast. But just as a heads up, we recorded this episode in our friendly local gaming store down here in Southwest Florida, Dungeon Games in Fort Myers. Shoutouts to Josh and Amy, who were very kind to let us use their shop to record at. As a result of that, the audio quality of the interview portion is not always going to be the best. There's a lot of background noise. I'm going to do what I can in post to clean it up. I'm not sure how great it's going to wind up sounding, so you have my humblest apologies. For those who are interested in listening to the full uncut interview with David, I am going to make sure to upload a copy of that at the same time I upload this episode as well. So without further ado, let me introduce you to David, aka Catnap from Sad Gnaws.
I'm David. I'm part of the Sad Gnaws team, CDH player. We basically just love competing, being tournament grinders. I mean, we're average Magic players trying to elucidate some of the confusing topics of CDH and just teach and educate and play the game. So we're all about having fun and just
now, while I appreciate David's humility here, I do also have to say that the Sad Gnaws team has really been putting up results recently. In the past few months, they have managed to put up 12 different top 16 finishes, including 3 first place finishes in CEDH tournaments. They are legit players, and if you want to learn more about CEDH, pause this episode, go subscribe to their channel on YouTube, link will be down below. We already sort of broached the topic of what exactly is the point of focusing so much on your mana base. Now, I asked David that question, and here was his response.
Mana base is, if you look at a deck, it's 30 to 40% of a deck. It's nearly half of the cards that you're going to play every game you play Magic. And in order to do anything other than your zero drops, you need lands. You need mana.
When you get down to it, the role of your mana base is to support your game plan overall. We're going to get to that topic in just a few moments with David's next suggestion, but the keys to remember are your mana base should try to enable to let you cast your spells on curve, and you want to also make sure that your mana base is providing you with fixing. giving you the colors of mana to cast the spells and activate the abilities you want when you need them. And when it comes to fixing in Commander, quite frankly, we are basically at the point of having almost perfect mana. I asked David for his advice on how he starts building his mana bases, and here's what he had to say.
You start with the core, and it's expensive, and everybody knows it, but the fetch lands, the duels, and the shocks are the core. What makes them such a great package together is they have the ability to be found by the fetch lands at pretty much any point in the game. Mm-hmm. They have the two titles, right? You know, island and swamp, mountain and forest. Mm-hmm. So you have two types you can find and put into play. And fetches, basically, at that point, become Wooburg lands. Pay a life, put it into play, and if it's a duel, it comes in untapped. You don't even have to pay for it, so it's just one life, any land you want in back.
David went on to add the importance of making sure you also include some five-color lands whenever possible, classics like Command Tower, City of Brass, Mana Confluence, Exotic Orchard, Forbidden Orchard. Even some cards like Spire of Industry can be very helpful in certain decks, just like Thran Quarry. And of course, especially in low-color decks.
If you are in lower colors, though, just go to your basics, because those are great. After that, I'm looking to try and slot in some utility lands.
David went on to explain to me that your choice of your utility lands really should be informed by your deck's overall game plan. Your mana base, as with every other card choice you select for your deck, should support your deck's overall gameplay goals.
What does my deck want to do? And if you look at any format inside Magic, every deck is either, you know, it's an aggro, it's control, it's a tempo, it's a combo, it's turboing, it has mid-range. You know, we have a game plan. And so what's the game plan of the deck? And I think that's what determines what lands you really should include and what lands you shouldn't include. Because if you are a faster deck, you probably don't want tapped lands. You want your mana immediately accessible to you. And you need to use it now, because playing off curve, you're going to lose your tempo, mm-hmm. you're going to fall behind. Mm-hmm. But if you're a control deck, maybe putting a tapped land that has a powerful effect into play is okay, because you're going to be able to catch up, you're going to be able to answer threats, and now that powerful effect is going to benefit you.
And I think this really bears out in experience with actually playing the format of Commander, CDH, Casual, and everything in between. When you have a deck that really does want to get into those late turns, push the game into double digits, sometimes it's worth taking a quote-unquote turn off to have your land give you a free scry off of a temple. Or for your land to be both fetchable and give you the chance to cycle it away if you get it late game, such as the recent printing of the Triomes. Once we have our deck's game plan in mind, then we can start to decide which other utility lands we really want to include in our deck.
Now they come with some drawbacks. They don't only one color. The channel effects, you know, are sometimes expensive. Maybe your deck doesn't need that. Maybe you're already heavy on removal and bounce spells, and you don't need that. Maybe you're looking for acceleration. So you're looking at Gaia's Cradle. You want to tap, make tons of mana, dump it into your Thrasios. Maybe you need Ancient Tomb, so you could turn one into that Signet, and then also have two extra mana mm-hmm. there that you can dump into an Adnaz or any of your big spells with colorless toss. So I think identify what the deck needs and slot that in.
And coming from Commander, this really does seem so simple. I mean, we already are used to building around our Commander and recognizing that if our Commander provides a form of removal, such as Karlov of the Ghost Council, we can probably skimp a little bit on creature removal. Whereas if our commander instead is going to give us lots of value from the graveyard, such as Muldrotha or Meron of Clan Nel'Toth, well, we probably don't need to invest quite so heavily in ways to get cards back out of the graveyard at that point. David is simply arguing that the same holds true for your mana base. If you already have a lot of removal in your deck, you may not need to go invest money into getting a Boseiju for your deck. Or, if on the other hand your deck is a little bit light on interaction, it may be worth the investment to go get a Boseiju. Or maybe you want to look at one of the modal double-faced cards from Zendikar Rising, which are spells on the front, and still lands on the back. Some of you might be asking, well, what do? I can't really afford to go drop several paychecks on fetches and duels and shocks. I think it's always important to keep your eyes open for when shocks are printed back into Standard, or when there has been a new printing of fetch lands in some supplemental product, to try to get them all the prices reasonably low. That said, I am also a big proponent of going ahead and proxying the cards you need to really get your deck where you want it to be. Of course, I also know a lot of people like to only play with the cards they own, and I have very dear friends who are like that too. There's nothing wrong with that. In those cases, there are plenty of budget options that you can still use. There have been a number of different land cycles that have been printed, which do in fact have basic land types on them, which are very easy for you to fetch out. Or particularly lands that have a forest type are relatively easy to get out of your deck with many of the tools that green already has available. Nature's Lore is able to get you any forest you want, including a Triome, including some of the snow-covered duels that came out in the most recent Kaldheim set. There are a multitude of different options. David and I went on for over half an hour in that interview that I've been referencing throughout this episode. I really do encourage you to check it out if you want some more tips and tricks for building your mana base. And if that just knowledge is not enough to encourage you to check it out, I will also point out that in that, we also had a really fun discussion on our pet peeves with mana bases. We speculated about what our perfect printing of a new rare land cycle might be, and we theorycrafted about those, which was a lot of fun. And I also have to let you know, there is a giveaway that Sadnaws was doing partnered with us, and if you want to find out if you are a winner, make sure you listen to that interview. Before we wrap up, though, I want to thank David again for literally coming halfway across the country to come down and give this interview about how to build a mana base.
If you want to reach out to us, follow the Sadnaws Discord. It's just discord.gg/Sadnaws. You can reach us out on YouTube or anything. Message us with anything at any time. There's an entire team of us. I think there's 8, 7 of us. There's a lot of us. So feel free to shoot any of us questions. We're happy. Join the Discord. We're all real friendly and relative insomniacs, so we'll respond at most times of the day. Coming up on the 29th of April this month, we have a tournament that is going to be put on by Sam and Adam, and it's your chance to win a beta Demonic Tutor. So there's a 64-player cap. Sign up now. I know registration's filling up fast. It starts at 3 p.m., and it's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you can't make that one, there's also a tournament coming up in May on the 13th in Chicago, a little outside in Villa Park. It's put on by Titan Games. They're going to be giving away a City of Trader, some other prizes. They do a fantastic job of running their events. If you get a chance, go to Eminence, look at their event hub, and sign up.
And as I've said already, if you're not already subscribed to Sadnaws on YouTube, please go ahead and do so. They put out an audio format of their podcast that's available on most podcast apps already. As for me, I think you know the routine by now, but since it's been a while since I've been on, you can always feel free to send us questions where we are at GemstoneMindMTG on Twitter. You can also send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mind Podcast. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mind.